Well, I want to thank my special helpers who did a great job praise and worship tonight with me. They just jumped right up there, and I just kind of threw them to the wolves, and they did a great job. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So anyway, did a great job. So I've been having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to use my phone tonight. No, I'm not texting people, and I'm not on Facebook and whatever other things that are going on. So, you know, years ago I was, there's some people that I was giving scriptures that, and the whole time they're like this the whole time, and I'm like, what are they doing? I'm like, oh, well, they got a Bible on their phone. So, you know, like for the longest time, like, oh yeah, well, we got a Bible on our phone, so I'm like, whatever. So I just want to spend just a few minutes talking about the closer we get to Christ, what happens when we get closer to Christ and when we get close to Jesus. You know, it's interesting to me. When we see all these people online and that, you know, that are giving prophetic words, or they have a message, or you know, the Lord's speaking to them about some things, there are some benefits that come to us when we you know, connect with the Lord. And I think there's some real hidden gems in the Word that we don't see sometimes, that it's kind of mind-blowing to see what Jesus and his disciples did. So, and we're aware of, you know, Jesus had disciples. He actually had more than 12 disciples, but we hear him primarily talking about the 12 disciples most of the time. And there's the 12 disciples, well, there's multitudes that followed him, but there's the 12 disciples, and then there was the three, and then there's the one. And the one was John, and he eventually was with Jesus and Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother at the cross. So, you know, as those folks who got closer to Jesus, what did he do? He gave them more responsibility and also disclosed more things to them. So they had a relationship with Jesus that a lot of the other ones didn't. You know, you don't hear about a lot in the 70 and those the other multitudes that walked with him. You know, you just hear multitudes. Well, that's a bunch of people. But we hear of Peter, we hear of John, we hear of James, we hear of all the other disciples. Why? Because they were the closest to Jesus. And when you're the closest to Jesus, then you're going to receive benefits from him that often other people aren't going to get. And then that's where people create their own doctrine, right? Well, God's just, you know, it's just God's will that this happens. It's just God's will that happens. Well, sometimes it's just people press in and just pursue him more, right? That's it. So let's look at, keep my phone afloat here. Mark chapter 9, and we're not, like I said, this is not nearly an exhaustive, you know, topic tonight. I'm just going to hit a few things tonight. There's obviously a wealth more of information in Revelation that I'm not even touching on tonight, but this will kind of get the wheels turning for you. And so we look at Mark chapter 9, verse 1, and I'm going to read now the New Living Translation. I kind of got a New Living Translation kick when I was doing this, but it says, Jesus, verse 1, it says, and Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, some standing here now, right now, will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power. Verse 2 says, and this is, now we're talking about the transfiguration. Verse 2, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Well, those are the three, aren't they? You notice he didn't take anybody else, but he took the three with him. Why? Because he was close to them. And he led them up to a mountain, to a high mountain, to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Verse 4, then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. This is interesting here. Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, which means teacher, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, and there's another, as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified, right? I mean, he was near the Scooby-Doo thing going, zoinks, right? They were all, you Shaggy, I don't know what to do here. They were all scared out of their minds. But so he didn't know what to do. Kind of that nervous talking going on. But when did this happen in the Bible? This never happened in the Bible, did it? Jesus never disclosed himself like this, showed anybody here on earth what he was really, his glory or anything like that, except for this time right here, is it? And we see that because of these three individuals were close to Jesus. He didn't do this in front of the multitude, right? He didn't do this in front of 70. He didn't do this in front of the 12. He did it in front of the three. And now there's some special interesting things here with this. This is, you know, we always think it's the transfiguration. But really the Lord's saying something out of this. And then it says, verse 7, then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, which is the Father, right? This is my dearly loved Son, listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they only saw Jesus with him. Now, this is very deep revelation here, because what does Moses represent? He represents the law. What does Elijah represent? He represents the prophets. What does Jesus represent? The new covenant. Life. So, you know, just by Moses showing up and Elijah showing up in this transfiguration, there is definitely that he is disclosing himself, revealing some things about himself to those three that are very close to him. But when the Father announced, hey, listen to him, what he's really saying is, this is the most important thing. Because what were the Hebrews or the Jews at that time really focused on? They were focused on the law and the prophets, right? That's all they had. And now the Father is saying, this is the one you really need to listen to, right? Now, Jesus doesn't come and contradict those things, but what he's saying, he brings deeper revelation than Moses. He's a fulfillment of those things, isn't he? So Jesus is really, the Old Testament is the New Testament hidden. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So, and who is the New Testament? It's Jesus. It's, Testament means covenant. And Jesus cut that covenant on the cross, didn't he? Kind of went a little deep there. But John chapter 6, verse 33. John chapter 6, verse 33. So when we're getting close to Jesus, now again, there's so much more. We don't have time tonight to really get into any of these things. But when one of the things that when we do draw near to Jesus is he discloses, he reveals more things about himself, doesn't he? That's why we always, I just don't know why God speaks to him all the time or her all the time. And how come I don't have a relationship with God like that? Why does this happen to me? The Bible says, draw near to me and what? I will draw near to you, right? You take a step forward, I'll take a step forward. You want to have a revelation with me? Begin to do some things, right? You can't have a relationship with someone who doesn't show up, right? I mean, it's like showing up on your wedding day, getting married, and then taking off, right? Okay, great, glad to see it. That's where a lot of people act like when they get saved, right? They come and they get born again, but then their actions don't line up with what they just confess out of their mouth, right? So, you know, the Bible says that, well, there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, it says, God said, let us make man in what? Our image and after our likeness. You want to know what God is? Look at yourself. Now, he doesn't sin and he doesn't do those things. But what I'm saying is he likes fellowship. He likes nice things. He likes people to say, you like people to say nice, good things about you. God likes to have good things said about him, right? The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That means when we talk good about him, we praise him, worship him, he shows up. Do you show up or people don't like you? No. So people are, I just don't understand God. Really, because he made us in an exact image like him. Doesn't mean we're deity, it doesn't mean we're God or anything, but what it does mean is the things, the characteristics that he is, he implanted them on us. Amen? So we see that John chapter, 6, verse 33, New Living Translation, John 6, 33. So there's a wealth of information, a wealth of things, and a wealth of, you know, what are the benefits of serving God? Well, that's a topic that is just, it's ongoing. But verse 33 says, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Well, who's that? We're going to find out here in a minute. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Now, interestingly enough, we don't have it, but what did he say at the woman at the well? You're never going to thirst, right? So we see here, we don't have time to go there tonight, But we see that he told the woman of the well that she will never thirst, that there will be what? Rivers of living water flowing out of her belly, right? That's a spiritual thing. That's life. You ever watch some different things? They claim there's life on Mars because they claim that they found water. Well, what's the one thing for life everything has to survive on is going to be what? Water. We have to have water. What is the Holy Spirit and the life of God? It is rivers. It is water. What's water? Water is a cleansing factor too, right? It's a cleansing factor. So water has a lot to do with it. But Jesus here says, I am the bread of life. What is that? When we draw near to him, Jesus is going to be the life giver. He's going to nourish. He's going to feed us, isn't he? We're never going to be hungry. What's hungry mean? Does it mean that, you know, you're never going to want to eat anything naturally? No, it means that nothing else will satisfy you like he does. That's what that means. You're never going to be hungry for drugs. You're never going to be hungry for perversion. You're never gonna be hungry because you're like, man, I got Jesus. I'm satisfied. I don't need this junk in my life anymore, mm-hmm. Right? I don't need, you know, alcohol. I don't need this junk in my life. I have the bread of life, and I'm satisfied. I'm hungry. I'm full. I'm happy. I have my needs met. It's like walking into a restaurant and walking out of a restaurant. You know, when you look at the menu, it's like, ooh, you're really hungry. It's like, ah, this looks really good. When you're full, right? Do you want some more tea? Do you want some more water? Do you want some more? No, I'm good. Why? Because you're full. Do you want some more salad with that? You know, do you want another? You want to go up to the salad bar again? No, I'm what? Full. What does full mean? Full means you're disinterested in anything else, right? Jesus said, you're going to be full of the bread of life. That means that nothing else is going to look good at that point after that. It's like, you're done. I've got Jesus. I'm done. It's amazing. I've told this before, but I like to drink a lot of beer. I like to drink. Right? There was a point where I like to drink. Well, when I got saved and I got baptized, rededicated, and baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's interesting because that night I was, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had like two cases of beer in the fridge and, you know, but it was 2 weeks later and I forgot I even had it, right? It was like, oh my gosh, we got all this stuff in the fridge and I never used it, so I just threw it out, right? Why? Because I had the bread of life in me. Nothing else really, it didn't, why? Because I got a taste of Jesus, I had a taste of the Holy Ghost, and nothing else mattered. Why? Because I drew near to him and all of that junk in my life, that it got flushed out. Because the bread of life, the waters that he talks about, it satisfied me. I don't need that stuff anymore. I don't want it anymore. Because why? I was full of the bread of life. I was satisfied at that point. I didn't need those things. So when we draw near to him, number one, like we talked about, is he is going to reveal some things about himself that other people won't see, right? That's why people will come, and if they think you're crazy or they think you're nuts or whatever, and it just comes back to, well, you've never experienced it, you know? Well, I just don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe that. There's not, you know. Well, great, I can believe there wasn't Abraham Lincoln. I can believe that, you know, Aristotle didn't exist, and I can believe Einstein didn't really exist. And I mean, I could talk myself on all of these things and say they didn't exist. But here's the thing. I've never had a relationship with George Washington. I've never had a relationship or had a conversation with Einstein, but I do with Jesus. And he's not just somebody that is a fictitious person. It is, the Bible says, and I experience him spiritually, therefore he is the bread of life, he feeds me, he reveals things to me, just like he did there at Peter, James, and John. He revealed something to them that he didn't reveal to everyone else. When you look at things like Jesus, let's turn to, kind of a sidetrack here, we'll turn here to Luke. Maybe Mark here. Let me look at it really quick. Sorry, guys. Yeah, let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Am I boring you tonight?
Nope.
You're all awake? Because
nope.
Of those frappuccinos back there get you all hopped up. little sugar and caffeine. That's like, just like, you know, gas on the fire there. That'll get you all wound up, right? It's okay. It's all right. We've laced your kids' gifts with caffeine and sugar, so that's right. It should wear off about 5 o'clock in the morning, so you're all right. It's okay. Yeah. So I always use that. I babysat years ago for my nephews or my nieces and stuff, and they were going out. I said, hey, that's fine. If you're home past midnight, your kids will be full of Mountain Dew. So, you know, it's just, I'm just telling you right now, it's okay. You can stay later if you want to, but you'll be up late. Anyway, but they were on time. All right, you know. So. But Mark chapter 4, verse, this is Jesus, and he's giving the parable about the seed sown, okay? And what he's doing, he's saying, hey, look up there. I love Jesus because he's the Pharisees want to get real deep and philosophical, you know, really theological and everything. And Jesus is like, hey, see that guy up there throwing, he's a farmer. He's just throwing seeds out. Well, guess what? That seed's falling on different grounds. Well, Jesus goes through and he talks about this parable with the four soil types. Well, and then in verse 13 and 14, he begins to, that's the multitude, right? That's the people. He begins to tell them this. And the disciples want to know what it means. And then in verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. Who does he explain the depths of this to? He explains it to his disciples. Why? Because they're close to him. They're following. They're giving their lives for him. And in turn, he's pouring into them. Guess what? If we're going to give our lives for him, if we're going to sacrifice for him, what's he going to do? He's going to pour into us. How do we do that? We absorb his word. We spend time in prayer. Those are the connecting points. That's how we're going to have the bread of life, is we're going to read his word and spend time with him. He is disclosing things, revealing things. How many want God to reveal some things to you, you know? And it'd be cool where it's like, I'd like to know what's on God's mind. And he's like, I'm not really hiding it from you. Mr. Gary did a great sermon, you know, that God's not hiding things from us. I still remember that. It was really good. But, you know, he's not playing hide and seek, but he's wanting to reveal things to us. And he's wanting to show us things. He's wanting to answer questions for us, right? And so, but it's a relationship. It's not, I mean, hopefully, guys, you didn't marry, you know, your wives or, you know, to cook and do your laundry and stuff, but for a relationship, right? Hello? There's laughing going on here. And I don't know whether I'm digging myself a hole here or whatever. But you don't marry someone typically for the benefits, right? Now, there should be benefits because you care about each other and you want to do things for one another. That's understandable. But you shouldn't be going into a relationship to get something out of it. And a lot of people, they're going into marriage to, you know, fulfill their needs rather than to give something. And that's where we come to Christ. Is, you know, Christ is all about giving to us. He's all about pouring into us. But it's how much we come to him. Now, often the gospel or the covenant, and really what covenant is whatever benefits you have belong to me. Okay? And whatever debts belong to me as well. Whatever benefits I have belong to the other person, and whatever debts I have belong to them. So it's a mutual communion. So what it is I take the good and the bad. And so, for example, you know, you are going to bless me with your good things, but I am also going to help you with the bad things or those liabilities. We talk like, you know, accounting terms, your assets and liabilities, right? So you're going to have these things. And so the great thing is, you know, we always, as Christians and people, you know, here on earth, we think of things like, you know, well, I have these problems and I have these things. And if you're really born again and you really have God on your side, the Lord's like, we have these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really covenant, right?
Amen.
I mean, you know, when you have a marriage together, when you're married to someone, you know, yeah, maybe there's individual things you're dealing with, but really, I mean, as a household, if you have a house payment, then you both have that, right? I mean, because you both live there and you both have to live. You have bills to pay, right? Right. It's amazing how, you know, when you turn that furnace on and the heat bill comes, it's like, well, no, I'm sorry. This was my half of the house. I'm paying, you know, that's my house. This is my heat and that's your heat, you know. Well, the line of the bed stops here. So this is, I'm paying for the air conditioning on this side of the room and you pay for this. No, it's all one, isn't it, right? Yeah, I want to hear that conversation. Hi, yeah. Hi, Mid-American. Yeah, yeah. Could you send half that bill to my spouse and half that bill in my name? Can we do that? Hello? Hello? Hanging up on you, right? Because it's ridiculous. Why? Because we're covenant together. And so that's where the Lord comes in, is when we do have, it's called the testament or covenant. So covenant means, so can you think about it? If we're in covenant with God, that means that all of the blessings that he has, we are bound by covenant to for him to help us in time of need, right? He said he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us, he'd always be there. There in Thessalonians, it said he supplies all our needs according to riches and glory, right? We don't, you know, for example, you know, I work, I don't come home and go, well, Adrian, sorry, I guess I'm going to eat. You can watch me eat if you want to. No, we're covenant together. That means we take care of one another, right? We pay the bills together. So we have blessings, and there are things that we take care of that come. And so God is going to take care of those things for us as we approach him, as we, you know, believe. And it's also, too, people who don't have faith, they tie God's hands. You know, I have some family members that I had my grandfather. He was really proud, and you'd want to do something for him. Don't give me that, blah, 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 blah. And so what happened was people who are like that, they get robbed of blessings. And so when God comes and he wants to bless us, when our words, we say things like, God just doesn't care. God doesn't want to, you know, oh, God will never do this for me. God will never answer this prayer. God always does this. God always does that. He'll never help me out. And God's like, I'm trying to help you out, but you won't accept it. Yeah. Kind of like the old image, the guy that was, you know, floating along in a boat, and he said, oh, God, save me. And then he's floating out in the ocean, and then one guy comes along and says, come on, I'll help you out. And he goes, no, get in the boat. The guy says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me, you know. And then that kept two or three times. The guy finally drowned. Sorry, my vernacular tonight is drowned. And so he died, you know, went to heaven. He's like, Lord, what happened? He goes, I sent three people to help you, right? So sometimes we pull the Barney Fife and we shoot ourselves in the foot instead of living by faith and actually saying, okay, God, I believe and actually trust you, and I believe you can help me out here, and you're willing to do it too. So we'll read a few more here real quick. And let's look at John chapter 14, verse 21. We'll cut it short and let some more people get their fill of sugar tonight. Amen. A little bit different tonight. So, amen. Hallelujah. The cool thing is to get to heaven. I mean, it's just all fat-free. That's what I'm talking about, right? Because, you know, you see the Last Supper, and then we see the Supper of the Lamb, which is when we're all, after the rapture and all that stuff happens, it's just going to be eaten. I mean, what is it, 7 years? This is like this big gorge session, you know? This is awesome. So down here, gluttony's not a real good thing, and obviously, you know, it's not healthy. But up there, you know, eating, it's just wonderful. So, hallelujah. You know, I like ham and stuff, and I know that the Bible talks about not, you know, pork is not a really good thing. I'm just wondering, is there going to be pork in heaven? I'm just wondering. I don't know. You know, is that something? You know, is that, yeah, exactly. Asking for a friend, right? Like, Lord, is there pork in heaven? Exactly. There better be bacon. That's right, because that's not going to be good. Right. Hallelujah. I like that stuff in my cereal. And I'll tell you what, you can't live without bacon. Oh, my goodness. That's right. Hallelujah. John 14:21 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, here we go, my Father and I will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. The Bible also talks about, and we close here, they will come and make their abode. Abode means home. So that means the Lord is going to make his home or his abode in us. He's going to live in us, right? He's going to make himself comfortable. He's going to stretch out. He's going to, hey, this is where I want to live at. And that's part of the having the bread of life. When you have God living in you and you have that bread of life, which is the nourishment from Jesus, his word, his spirit in and upon you, nothing else really matters at that point, right? I mean, it's like everything just doesn't really matter, right? You get into a situation where it's like, I'm going to kill you. Oh, please. Really? Okay. Well, there's life insurance, and then I get to be with heaven, and I got to be with Jesus, so that doesn't sound really that bad after all, you know. So everything in life is just kind of, like I like to call it, the eternal perspective. When you have the bread of life and you have Jesus, nothing really at that point really rattles you anymore. Like, oh, I'm so depressed, I'm so this, I'm so that. No, I don't know depression anymore. Because I've got the King of Kings living inside of me. I don't deal with that, right? Now there's times you're tempted to be discouraged, right? Because maybe things do come. You know, Elijah dealt with it. I'm sure Job did, right? Other people did, you know. It's easy to point fingers. But, you know, Elijah calling down fire from heaven, killing 400 prophets of Baal. You know, I mean, he is just on top of his A game. I mean, God is showing up. Everything's awesome. And then scene two, he's begging God to kill him and take him home. And everything's awful, terrible. And that Ahab and Jezebel are after me. And, oh, and life's just horrible. What happened? I'm sorry. I forgot what happened over here with the... I mean, I would be flipping out. If I saw a big fire, if I called down fire from heaven, you know, like Raiders Lost Ark, you know, that movie where it comes down and everything, I'd be flipping out. I'd be like, man, I am, God and I are, we're it. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, if you called down fire from heaven and then consumed all the sacrifice and everything else too, or you know, the Red Sea split, I mean, hello. But, and then, the next scene, we're griping and complaining, and God's brought us out here to kill us. He's good. He's just here to kill us. All right, let's give it up. We need the bread of life tonight, don't we? We need Jesus. Let's just pray. You know, before we pray, I just want to open it up tonight. You know, we've got people gone tonight and having relaxation here and a good time. But you know, tonight we want to pray. If you need prayer for anything, or if you've never made Jesus your Lord. You're like, what's he even talking about? I don't even understand what he's talking about. If you're not born again, or you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you. Amen? So I want everybody to close your eyes real quick. If that's you, just raise your hand. We want to pray for you, give you the opportunity. Be a blessing. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We pray. We thank you that you're the bread of life for us tonight. And I pray peace over every person here tonight, that they're going to experience something supernatural as they go home. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're going to speak to us on a new level as we press in to you, Lord. But Lord, we've come to you tonight to receive something from you. And we thank you that Holy Spirit, you're going to be upon us. Amen. And we speak like Ephesians does, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened tonight. Every person in here, that our spiritual eyes are open, that you're revealing things to us tonight. And Lord, we thank you that answers are going to be revealed to us, Lord God. We're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we speak healing into bodies tonight, Lord, as well. We thank you for financial, just supernatural things in the financial realm for people in this room as well. Favor in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And also the love of God. For the lost, we thank you for it, Lord Jesus, and we give you glory and honor in your name. Amen. 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 Well, hallelujah. Well, help yourselves to some more wonderful things there. And amen. Well, we will see you all, prayer Wednesday night.
Yes.
So, amen.